'Tis not that I did choose thee, Lord, for Lord, that could not be.
Todd'sville Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
Has it ever come into your mind, what does it really mean to repent? What is repentance? I'd like to read a scripture from Luke chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Now they tell him of a current event that was very gruesome. There were some people who were offering sacrifices that while they were in the midst of doing that, Pilate shed their blood. He had them killed, and their blood was mingled with the sacrifices of the blood they were offering sacrifices for. Their bloods were mingled together. What a blood-curdling, chilling tale. Verse 2, and Jesus answering said unto them, the Lord responded to this. He said, suppose ye that these Galileans that suffered this horrible fate were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things. When they had this horrible thing take place with them, was this some kind of special judgment of God against them for the things they were doing and that they were in reality worse than the average sinner? The Lord said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Don't think for a second that you're better than these people. If you don't repent, you'll perish just like they did. And then he gives another current event. He said in verse 4, or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? Do you think that because this disaster took place and they were killed when this tower fell on them, do you think that's some kind of special judgment of God that proves that they were greater sinners than the other sinners that were in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Now, upon the very surface of this, we see that calamities and bad things that happen to people are not judgments from God against their sin. Now, people are always thinking that way. I remember when the hurricane hit New Orleans and people would say, well, this is God's judgment against that place. Or when something bad happens and some kind of disaster takes place, they think, well, God is judging that person for their sin. Now, let me say this. Those 18 people might have all been believers. There are believers who have died of certain diseases like AIDS and so on, where people think that's God's special judgment. Listen, God is going to judge all sin, but hell is the place of judgment. And you can't look at any calamity anybody experiences and think, well, they must be being judged for their sins, or this stuff wouldn't be happening to them. That's what Job's miserable comforters thought. They kept saying, what have you done? What have you done that's brought all this upon you? Now, that kind of attitude is wrong. Bad things happen to believers just like bad things happen to unbelievers. Believers get cancer. Believers get sick. Believers are involved in accidents where perhaps many people are killed. And to think that, well, that's God's judgment is a terribly arrogant and self-righteous attitude. Whenever you hear preachers talk, this is God's judgment against sin. God will judge sin, but hell is the place of that judgment. Now, here's what our Lord is really touching at when he makes this statement. These people were saying, well, these men must have been more evil than others to have such terrible things happen to them, which translated is, they're more evil than me. I haven't suffered this, therefore I must be better than them. A religion of comparing oneself with somebody else. I can always find somebody that I'm a little better than, that I feel like I'm a little bit righteous, more righteous than, and it must be okay for me. I must be all right. Now, the Lord says, except you repent and stop thinking like that, you're going to perish. And he's talking about eternal condemnation when he says that. I have entitled this message, Except You Repent. Now, what is this thing of repentance? When our Lord opened his public ministry, he opened his ministry with these words, Repent ye and believe the gospel. Change your mind is what the word means, and believe the gospel. When Paul gave a summary of the ministry the Lord had given him in Acts chapter 20, he says, This is my ministry, this is my preaching, testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance toward God, a change of mind toward God, and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which is precisely what the Lord said when he said, Repent ye and believe the gospel. When the Lord is giving his marching orders to the church after his resurrection, right before his ascension, he told them what to preach. He said that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name. Now the Lord said to these people, except you personally repent, you're going to perish just like those people whose blood was mingled with the sacrifices they were offering when Pilate had them put to death. Except you repent, you're no different than those people upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them. Except you repent, you will likewise perish. Now, what does it mean to repent? What's that word mean? What does the Bible mean by that? What did the Lord mean by that? What did Paul mean by that? Repent. Now, this is a word, like so many other words, that false prophets use and change the meaning of. Now, my dear friends, there are a whole lot of false prophets. When our Lord said, Enter ye in at the straight gate, what's the first warning he gave after that? Beware of false prophets. They hang out at the gate. And a false prophet takes biblical words. You see, they come in sheep's clothing, but within they're ravenous wolves. And they use biblical words and change the meaning. There's so many examples of that, like grace. They all talk about grace, but grace is not what actually saves you. It's an offer of God that it's up to you to accept or reject. They use words like redemption, but it's incomplete. He may have redeemed you, but you might be damned anyway if you don't do what it takes to make what he did work for you. They take words like faith, and they make faith a work. Faith is the work that you need to do in order to be born again, or in order to have the forgiveness of sins. It puts salvation somehow conditioned upon you, and they do say the same thing with repentance. Preachers say, repent of your sins. Now, do you know that phrase is not even found in the Bible? Repent of your sins. Now, I want to have a change of mind concerning sins, but this is what preachers mean by that when they say that. What you need to do is you need to be really sorry for your sin, and you need to stop committing it. And if you've committed it anymore, you haven't really repented. Now, while I would agree we ought to be sorry for our sins, and while I agree we ought not commit them anymore, I ask the question, how sorry? When are you sorry enough? And as far as that goes, are there sins you haven't stopped committing? If that's true, that means you've never repented of them. There are many sins that you and I have never stopped committing. And so if repentance is stopping that particular sin, me and you haven't repented, we're in big trouble. Now, what does repentance really mean? Now, by definition, the word means a change of mind. My mind's changed. Illustration. When I was a little boy, My parents always made me eat what was on the plate. And there were two foods that I despised: Brussels sprouts and tomatoes. I hated the way they tasted. I hated their smell. I hated their texture. Oh, how I hated Brussels sprouts. And I would hate having to put them in my mouth and try to chew them up. But you know what? It's now my favorite vegetable. I love Brussels sprouts. I love the taste. I love the texture. I could make a meal of Brussels sprouts. That's how much I love them. But you know, my attitude towards tomatoes has not changed at all. I still hate them. I still hate the way they taste, the smell, the texture. See, I changed my mind regarding the Brussels sprouts, but my mind remained unchanged regarding tomatoes. Repentance means a change of mind. And repentance, this change of mind, is both an act and a state of being. Somebody once said this about repentance. I think this is so good. Repentance is a change of mind, but oh, what a change. In this change of mind, it comes from a change of masters. And what comes with it is a change of motives and a change of manners. It's not just a cognitive change of the mind. You believe one thing, then you believe something else. No, it affects everything, this thing of repentance. And repentance, like faith, is the gift of God. You know, Scripture says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, repentance is that way. You can't just work up repentance. You can't just up and decide, I'm going to repent toward God. No, God's got to give it to you. And if He doesn't give it to you, you will not have it. The Scripture says, Him hath God exalted for to be a prince and a savior, for to give to Israel repentance and the remission of sins. The only way I'm going to truly repent is if God gives me that repentance. Paul said to Timothy to not strive, but be gentle with all men, apt to teach, meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If peradventure God will grant them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. The only way you and I will ever truly repent is if God grants us and gives us this repentance. It's the gift of His grace. It's part of the work of God the Holy Spirit in the heart of a sinner. Now, when the writer to the Hebrews spoke of repentance, he talked about repentance from dead works. Now, what is that? Repentance from dead works. When you repent, you see every work that you ever did before God saved you was nothing but dead and sinful. You might have had a high opinion of those works at one time, but you've repented of that. You see that all your righteousness is as filthy rags before God. When you repent of those dead works. Now, true repentance is brought on by a spiritual sight of the Lord. Not a physical sight, but a spiritual sight. Job said in Job 42, verses 5 and 6, I've heard of thee with the hearing of the ears, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I hate myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. He saw who the Lord really was. He'd been vindicating himself and justifying himself, but when he finds out who the Lord really is, it shuts his mouth. And he sees he stands guilty before God. I think of what Isaiah said. He said in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. Now there's significance to him seeing the Lord in the year that King Uzziah died. King Uzziah was a good king, and he was mightily used of God. But the Scripture points out when his heart was lifted up within him, he came into the temple and bypassed the priest, thinking he could offer up a sacrifice without a priest. And the priest tried to stop him, and they said, this appertaineth not to thee, Uzziah. You better get out of here. And Uzziah's heart was lifted up, and he went ahead and tried to offer that sacrifice without a priest, and God turned him into a leper just like that. And Isaiah saw how unapproachable God is in his holiness apart from Christ. And he said, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. And listen to what he said about himself. I said, woe is me. I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Daniel, when Daniel saw him, he made this statement. He said, no strength remained in me, for my comeliness was turned to corruption, and I retained no strength. When Peter first found out who he was, he just thought he was a great man at first, but after one of his miracles, he found out this is the God man. And you know what his reply was to the Lord? He said, depart from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. You don't want to have anything to do with me. Depart from me. Now, he wasn't doing this in wickedness. He just thought, how could the Lord in his holiness have anything to do with somebody like me? Depart from me. I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Now, when the Gadarene demonic saw the Lord afar off, the scripture says he ran and worshipped him, saying, what have I to do with thee? What connection is there between us? You're holy, I'm evil. You're good, I'm bad. You're light, I'm darkness. You know, when people have this high attitude about themselves, mighty and high-minded, and they believe they have a personal righteousness that God can accept, they think there are things they can do, all they prove by that is they've never seen the Lord. If you and I ever see the Lord, I'll tell you this, we'll see ourselves in a completely different light. We'll see ourselves as filled with wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, and we'll see ourselves as sinners and nothing more. Now, this thing of seeing the Lord is not a physical sight. It's brought on by hearing the Word of God. In Luke chapter 16, after that rich man had been sent to hell, and he asked Father Abraham to send back Lazarus with a cup of water so he could dip some water on his tongue. He said, I'm tormented in this flame. Abraham said, it can't be done. And then he said this, the rich man in hell. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house, Lazarus. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they come into this place of torment. And Abraham saith unto them, they have Moses and the prophets. They've got the word of God. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they'll repent. If they saw somebody who had actually been in hell and can come back and testify of what a terrible place it was, or if somebody came back from heaven and testified what a wonderful place it was, if they could hear somebody that was raised from the dead, they'd repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now, repentance is a change of mind. And first of all, it's a change of mind regarding God. Paul called it repentance toward God. Now, I used to dislike things about God. I disliked his holiness. I thought he was too strict. I disliked his justice. I disliked his way of saving. I thought it wasn't fair for him to save some and pass by others. I disliked his way of saving. I didn't have any love for God. I didn't love his attributes. I would have changed it. If it would have been in my power, if I could have done it, I would have changed him to suit me the way I would like for him to be. But you know what? I've repented. I've changed my mind. I love God's way of saving. I love God's way of saving by his sovereign grace. I love God's distinguishing mercy. I love the power of the blood of Christ. Those things that I used to hate, I now love because my mind has been changed. My mind's been changed about myself. You know, I used to think I had a free will. I used to think I could just up and whenever I decided to, I could turn around and get things straightened out, or if the circumstances were right, I could make myself okay with God. I used to believe things like that about myself. Oh, true, I commit sins and I make mistakes and I do bad things. But you know, I've repented of that. I really believe right now, while I'm talking to you, that I'm the very chief of sinners. That's what Paul said he was. He said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And someone who has truly repented views themselves that way. And oh, how that person changes their mind about how God saves sinners. What I once hated, I now love. I love God's sovereignty in salvation. I love that salvation is of the Lord and He gets all the glory in salvation. I love the fact that He elected a people freely for Christ's sake and that Christ accomplished salvation for everybody He died for. It wasn't merely an offer, and God's grace is invincible and irresistible, and God's people persevere all the way to the end. I love that. I used to not love Christ's requirements. When He says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Oh, that seems so difficult. That's what I want to do more than anything else now. My biggest problem is myself. I want to deny myself. And I want to take up my cross willingly in confessing Christ before men and follow Him all the way to the end wherever He tells me to go. You know, I used to dislike the thought of holiness. I love it now. I want to be holy. I want to be just like the Lord Jesus Christ. I have repented. Now, more than anything else, I want you to listen to me real carefully, because if you would understand repentance, here's where the rubber hits the road. Quite often in the Scripture, we have these two things mentioned together: repentance and the remission of sins. When the Lord ascended, He said repentance and remission of sins were to be preached in His name. John the Baptist preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Now, when you repent, this is so glorious if God gives us eyes to see it. When you repent, you have a complete change of mind regarding the forgiveness of sins. Now, here's the way we naturally think. The forgiveness of sins is given to us if we fill in the blank. If we do this, if we stop doing that, if we start doing this, if we become more spiritual, if we stop this kind of conduct and start this kind of conduct to show that we're real and sincere, and if we're really sorry, and if we ask the Lord to take it away, we promise we won't do it anymore. We think the forgiveness of sins is something that comes at the end. If I do this, then I will be forgiven. Now, beloved, all that is salvation by works. That's it. Somebody believes that way, they don't believe grace. They don't believe the gospel. When you repent, you see salvation does not end with the forgiveness of sins. You see that salvation begins with the full, free, frank, complete forgiveness of all sin, past, present, and future. You've not learned what forgiveness is until you see that salvation begins with the free, complete forgiveness, the blotting out, the canceling of all your sin. You repent of thinking that there was something that you could do to achieve the forgiveness of sin, but you believe that the forgiveness of sin is given to you wholly for Christ's sake, not because you ask, not because you're sorry, not because of anything you do. You really believe that scripture, Ephesians 4:32, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now let me close by giving you seven marks regarding true repentance. Number one, true repentance owns God's holiness and my own sinfulness. Job didn't repent when he was afflicted. He didn't repent when his children were killed, when his body was diseased, when he lost everything he had. He didn't repent during any of those things. He just held on to justifying himself. But when he saw the Lord, he said, I hate myself and I repent in dust and ashes. I'm a sinful, sinful man. True repentance owns God's holiness and my own personal sinfulness. It's one thing to believe in the doctrine of total depravity. It's another thing to believe you're totally depraved. And that is what true repentance does. Number two, true repentance acknowledges God's sovereign right to do what He will with His own. When Samuel says to Eli, God's going to kill your two boys, you know how Eli responded? It's the Lord. Let Him do what seemeth Him good. True repentance believes whatever God does is right, whether I understand it or not. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? And whatever He does is right, and He doesn't have to answer to anybody for what He does because He's God. True repentance owns God's sovereign right. And thirdly, true repentance justifies God. David said against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when you speak and clear when you judge. You justify God in whatever sentence He pronounces against you or anybody else. Whatever He does is just and right. Fourthly, true repentance owns that it lies within God's sovereign will to pass me by or to show me mercy. Whatever He does is right. And you know, the leper understood this. When he came into the Lord's presence, he said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. He didn't say, Lord, I will that you make me clean. I'm going to let you do this for me. I'm going to let you have your... No, he knew that Christ could save him or Christ could pass him by. Christ could make him clean or He could leave him in his uncleanness. And it was totally up to the sovereign will of Christ. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And real repentance, true repentance, gives God all the glory. Revelation 16:8, we read of those who repented not to give Him the glory. Those who truly repent give Him all the glory. And true repentance continues to repent. It's not merely a one-time act, but it's a continual state of being, of repentance toward God. And lastly, real repentance looks solely to Christ for salvation. It doesn't look to itself in any way. Real repentance looks only to Christ for all of His salvation, claiming no past, present, or future merit. Except you repent, you'll likewise perish. Now, we have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church or write or email, we'll send you a copy. And we'd like to invite you to services at Todd Drew Grace Church. Our services begin this morning at 10:30 and this evening at 6. And you'll hear a message where the gospel of God's grace is preached.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com. Or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.